This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Volume.
The Draymond Green Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get payouts in as fast as 2 hours. There's so many bet types. My favorite, same game parlay bets. There's live betting, player props, futures. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. To get started now, sign up. Please use the promo code COLIN. COLIN. FanDuel Sportsbook makes it easy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. This is our 22nd episode. And first thing we want to do is say thank you for your support, for everyone's support of the Steph Curry episode. It was incredible. Just the reception has been amazing, and I can't thank those that reached out personally, those that reached out over social media platforms and spoke about how much they enjoyed the episode. I can't thank you enough. That's from me and my producer, Jackson. We can't thank you enough. Steph, if you heard this episode, we want to thank you again. I mean, it was incredible. I think we made magic. You know, that's every time we sit down and we record this podcast, the goal is to always make magic. And what's making magic? Making magic is bringing something to your headphones, to your car stereo, to your living room, wherever you enjoy your podcast at. Making magic is something that you walk away from and say, damn, that was incredible. I enjoyed that. I'm reaching out to somebody else. I think they need to hear this. That's making magic. And that's what we strive for. Every time we sit down and do this, I've been very speaking very openly about my goals in media and about my goals with the podcast, how much I enjoy doing the podcast, and I've spoke about how much this means to me, how important this is to me, and how great I want to make it, and most importantly, how great I want to be at it. And so, just to receive that reception, like it never goes unnoticed. I mean, we all can work, but ultimately, if you don't see results in your work, at some point you get defeated. And so I want everyone to know I don't take this for granted at all. I don't think just because I'm Draymond Green, a basketball player, that you're going to want to listen to me. I take this very seriously, and I can't thank you enough. Such an incredible episode. With that being said, moving forward, until the Warriors win the NBA championship, which will go through mid-June, as we all know, we're going to switch the podcast up. I also threw a little teaser out there this week about the podcast and my interviews as well. We're switching it up a little bit. The format will be different. I want to make sure that I can always fully lock in on the playoffs. I was talking to a couple of friends yesterday, and the reality is, what most people don't understand is during the playoffs, like, my family kind of takes a back seat. My fiance, she takes a back seat. My children, I almost feel bad saying it, but my children kind of take a back seat. And the reality is, during the playoffs, everything you're doing is to make sure that I'm ready for this next game that I have, because one game changes, one play changes a game, one game changes a series, and one series changes the outcome of your season. And so everything that you do has to be so locked in on the task at hand that ultimately everything ends up taking a back seat to that. And what I can afford, trying to coordinate schedules and all of those different things around our schedule can be a little tough. I've been super committed to that. We've been super committed to making that work. However, during the playoffs, I want my focus to be strictly on the playoffs and bringing you good content, but the guest interviews are going to have to take a back seat. They're going to have to wait until the Golden State Warriors finish the mission and go win an NBA championship. Now, Jackson on this call is smiling because Jackson is a big-time Boston Celtics fan. And so Jackson think they have something to say about that, which I'm totally fine with them having something to say about it. Ultimately, you have to stop it, but I'm totally fine with them having something to say about it. So Jackson is definitely looking at me like I'm crazy right now.
Hey, I mean, when the Celtics and the Warriors meet in the finals, the schedule is still going to be the same. You're right. We are going to be putting the guest interviews on the back burner until mid-June. The outcome for your season might be a little bit different than what you're describing when Robert Williams gets back. But hey, the scheduling is going to be the same as what you're saying. So you're right.
Meanwhile, we're still walking Steph back into the lineup. But yeah, no big deal. No big deal. No, but I hope everyone has the opportunity to enjoy these segments. Our goal is to put out a couple segments a week. So we still want to bring you the content. We still want to give you something to listen to. And this will be a little more about the playoffs and things going on around the league. But you'll get to catch some of the analysis, which I always think is fun. But don't worry, the guests will be back. We understand and we know and we appreciate all of our guests. And that is a huge part of the show. So we're not ignoring that side. But right now, it just has to take a back seat. I want to again thank all of our subscribers, our listeners. I want to thank you and apologize, but let you know. We still hope to bring you heat and fire, and we hope that you enjoy it, and we appreciate your loyalty, and we will continue to do all that we can to provide what you need on your ride to work, on your way home from work, to make that ride as smooth as possible. We will continue to give all that we got. Also, with us doing away with the guest interviews for now, what we're going to add to the show is kind of like a mailbag type of twist. If you go on Twitter and you hashtag the Draymond Green Show, Jackson and myself, we will find some of the questions and we will answer 3 to 4 questions per episode. Let's go 4 to 5 questions per episode. Your name will be mentioned. I will let everyone know it's coming from you. And we will love your engagement to hear some of the things you may want to hear about what's going on in the playoffs, what's going on in the Warriors series, wherever we may be. But your questions, we will be looking out for your questions. We will probably pick 4 to 5 a week. I mean, 4 to 5 an episode, which is more like 8 to 10 a week. And I will be answering your questions during the segments. Like I said, your at name will be mentioned so we know who those questions are coming from. And, you know, maybe the conversations from my answers to your question continues on your Twitter. Maybe I can chime in. I don't know. We'll see. But hashtag the Draymond Green Show with your questions. And we will be answering questions on every episode, kind of like the mailbag episode we did a while back. It'll be a few questions along with what we're already doing. So in saying that, the Warriors in starting are up 2-0 on the Nuggets. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. That simply means we had two home games. We took care of home court, and that's just that. We don't want to make too much out of being up 2-0 because the reality is, as they always say, and it's so cliche, but a series does not start until the team wins on the road. And, you know, now we have the opportunity to go do that. So it's very important that we come out in game three with the mindset of this is a 0-0 series. You know, all we did was take care of our home court and what we're supposed to do. And so the task is still a task. Job's not done. We understand that. We have quite a, you know, enough playoff experience to understand that being up 2-0 means absolutely nothing. Hell, we understand that being up 3-1 means absolutely nothing. So you always kind of let that sit in the back of the head somewhere and try not to lose sight of that, because it's hard winning games in a playoff series. It's even harder to close out a playoff series, especially on the road. Again, we're up 2-0. We have the opportunity to do that, but it starts with game three. I think when I look back at the first two games, the one thing that sticks out and the one thing that everyone's talking about is the new version of the death lineup with Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. I must say it's been pretty successful these first two games. Now, in saying that, I think there are some things that group can continue to get better at. I think there are some things that group will continue to get better at. And the reality is, those two games, that's our first time playing together all year. For it to work the way it worked, I mean, it's very exciting, because in your mind, you figure you're only going to get better, right? You're going to improve. And, you know, we'll cover up some things on the defensive end that we possibly could have covered up. We'll continue to get better on the offensive end and get more accustomed to playing with each other. Like, those are all the things that you hope. But in saying that, a very small sample size in two games, I mean, it's been absolutely incredible. Now, what's made it incredible? Well, Klay Thompson in two games has shot the ball well. And to be expected, like, you expect Klay Thompson to shoot the ball well. That's who Klay Thompson is. Steph Curry is Steph Curry. First game back, you know, he was good. He was solid. He was really good and solid, but not quite, you know, what you don't expect from Steph Curry is good and solid. You know, what we expect from Steph Curry is I don't even need to throw words out there. You know what I mean. Like, what we expect from Steph Curry is what we expect from Steph Curry. Game one wasn't that, nor did I expect game one to be that. But game two was exactly that. 22 minutes and 57 seconds, if I'm not mistaken. And he finishes with 34 points, plays an absolutely flawless game. I mean, he got off the ball. Didn't turn. I think he had two turnovers, didn't turn the ball over much. That's getting blitzed, and that's making plays for other guys. I thought the way Steph Curry put pressure on the rim last night was absolutely incredible, and it opened up the three-point shot. Because if you watch the game, I think they're, you know, in their mind, it's like, we got to take the three out of the game. And all, I mean, their entire defense was pressed up. Like, they're pressed up. They're above the three-point line. They're essentially trying to force you to drive. Well, Steph Curry took those drives, and then it opened the floor up, and it opened the three-point shot up. So I thought what Steph Curry came off the bench and did, he came off and got us settled in. I think they went up 7-0. Jordan Poole had his own 5-0 run to kind of get the game settled down. But Steph Curry, when he came in at the six-minute mark, it really just settled things down. It really showed us how we truly wanted to attack their pick-and-roll coverage. We were able to figure out a lot. And, you know, their pick-and-roll coverage was a little different than it was in game one. They were, you know, I think in game one we dissected them in the pocket. And that's, you know, what's dissecting them in the pocket? That's me setting a screen for Steph Curry. That's me setting a screen for Jordan Poole. That's Otto Porter setting the screen for Jordan Poole. And now, once that guy roll and you see the big who's guarding the guy who sets the screen as well as Jordan's man pursuing once he's screened. Then you roll and you open up and a guy drops that little pass. That's called a pocket pass because you're dropping it into the pocket. A pocket opens up. That's called a pocket pass. We absolutely took advantage of them in the pocket. And so what I noticed immediately, and if you think back to the game, there was a lot of kickballs from them because what they made a concerted effort to do was take the pocket away. And so because of that, it kind of changed up their pick and roll coverage a bit, and we had to adjust and figure that out. I think once we figured it out, we were all good. And it's not like we, you know, we didn't really play out of the pocket much because they took the pocket away. But our guards were great. Steph Curry came in and did what he had to do. Andrew Wiggins was attacking the basket, which was great. You know, when you have a guy, I think back to Joe Dumars, who's like a father figure of mine. And we used to always talk about NBA basketball. And he used to tell me, Draymond, you all, on your team, you always have to have a fence bender, like someone who's going to bend that fence over and over and over again. And I thought that's what Wiggins has been these first couple games, is he's been a fence bender where he's just bending the fence back. And once he bends the fence back, then everyone else can come in and you can work behind the play. And that's when everything else starts to open up. And so I think the way Wiggs has been attacking the rim has been incredible. But also, the way Wiggins has been rebounding, and no one's really talking about that, but that's what allows that newer version of the death lineup to really work. You know, if I'm battling with Joker, which is a tall task, which we'll talk about, by the way, but if I'm battling him and I'm trying to keep him off the board, it's very hard for me to then go get that rebound. And with Wiggins coming back in and rebounding, Klay Thompson coming back in and rebounding, I think Jordan Poole had 4 or 5 rebounds last night. As we always say, we all know Steph Curry's a great rebounder. That is very important into the small lineup working. And I thought Wiggins has been incredible with his attacks on the rim. I thought he's been incredible on the defensive end. Wiggins has been locked in like I've never seen Wiggins locked in before. And when I say that, I just mean like game plan, discipline, in the fray, rebounding the basket. I mean, it's been beautiful to see. And, I mean, the way he's stepping up to the challenge, doing all of the little things, it's been beautiful to see. So that, too, is what has helped that lineup. And then, of course, we get to the young sensation, most improved player, Jordan Poole, and what he's doing to defense is absolutely insane. I mean, you think of a defense having to prepare for Steph Curry, which is a nightmare, and then having to prepare for him twice. That's a totally different nightmare. And right now, that's what I see out of Jordan Poole. When I'm out there playing with Jordan Poole, like the same little life hacks, if you will, that I use when I'm playing with Steph Curry to get him open, I'm starting to realize, or I have realized, are the same little life hacks I can use to get Jordan open. And it's in large part due to his skill set. And, you know, Jordan, as we all know, he went to the school down the highway from Michigan State University. No need to mention the school's name. But I absolutely hated him. I mean, he played against Michigan State. Like, get this kid out of here. Like, he never backed. I've never seen him back down in a moment. And that dates back to then. Like, I've never seen him shy away from a moment. He won all those moments. And it showed in these two playoff games. I mean, he got 59 points in two games. What is that? 29.5 point average a game? First two playoff games? That's a different thing. Like, that's a totally different beast. And not to be confused, he's out there running alongside Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. That right there is intimidating in itself. You start talking playoff basketball, the accolades that we have, and then you throw this young kid in there. I mean, I say that with all due respect. And he's just out there running around and playing like he's not playing next to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, which is a very big deal because most people wouldn't know what to do in that situation. Most people would just be like, oh, man, I'm out here with them. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to, you know, get out the way. Nah, that's not what he's doing. He like, no, I want more of that. Like, no, bring the ball over here. Oh, man, they scoring. They on a little run. Slow down, slow down. Let me go get a layup. Like, his floor game and what he's doing right now, is that's what's most impressive to me than anything. It's not the shot making. Like, guys, there's a bunch of guys in the NBA that can make shots. It's not him getting to the hole. It's his floor game that's been the difference for me. That's been absolutely incredible. He's starting to face double teams now. And like, all of that stuff is different for him. The way he's handling all of those things, absolutely incredible.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Which leads me to another topic. As I spoke about earlier this week, the Most Improved Player Award. Again, you cannot tell me that there's anyone in the NBA that has improved more than Jordan Poole. Now, when I look at DeJounte Murray's numbers, absolutely incredible. Incredible numbers. Incredible jumps that he's made. I think he may have added six and a half or seven points per game to his points per game average. I think he doubled his assist output or doubled his rebound output. It's one of the two he doubled.
He went from 5.4 assists per game to 9.2.
Exactly. Like, I don't disagree with DeJounte Murray being in that conversation and possibly being the winner. I don't disagree with that one bit. I totally disagree with Ja Morant being a part of the conversation, because Ja Morant to me is a part of the MVP conversation. Now, whether he ended up a finalist or not, that's neither here nor there. Ja Morant is a part of the MVP conversation. The reason Ja Morant is a part of the MVP conversation is in large part due to the year he had last year, to where everybody's looking like, oh man, if he continues on this trajectory, he's an MVP candidate. And that's what he's done. So for him to be a part of the Most Improved Player conversation, I disagree with that. To me, what that's screaming out is almost a young MVP award. Like, okay, Joker's going to get the MVP or Joel's going to get the MVP. But on that list, there are some younger guys who could be in that conversation. And Ja Morant is one of those guys. And to me, it's almost like it's a young MVP award, not most improved player award. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Ja Morant and the improvements that he's made. I think it's been incredible. But in the same token, Ja Morant was the number two pick in NBA draft. Like, I'm sorry, but when you draft someone with the number two pick, it doesn't always happen, but you expect them to be that good. That's why you drafted them with the number two pick. Because if you draft someone with the number two pick, that's supposed to be a guy that you can now build your franchise around. So Ja Morant's supposed to be this good. DeJounte Murray was, what, the 29th pick? Again, I can't argue him being in that conversation. You look at who else is in the conversation. Darius Garland, who, unless you just don't know basketball, you didn't see him on this trajectory. But I know basketball. And I knew when I went to see Darius Garland play USC in LA when he was at Vanderbilt that this was the trajectory Darius Garland was going to be on. If you didn't, you need to question your basketball cap, which a lot of these people do. I think the voting system is one of those things that's completely ridiculous and like outdated. Like, there's no criteria in place for any of these awards. There's no, you have to play this amount of games or not. There isn't, well, what makes someone the most improved player? There's no criteria in place. MVP award. There's no criteria in place. We've seen guy win in seventh. It was team in seventh. We've seen guys win it, team in first. Joker wins it this year. His team's in sixth. Joel wins it this year. His team was what? Fourth in the East? I don't really, like, it's actually a shame that there's no criteria to this. The voting on it is also a shame. I think when you look at voting for all NBA, when you look at voting for Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved Player, MVP, ultimately, these things are voted on by the media, which I think is absolutely disgusting. Because these are human beings that could have personal issues against guys, because that does happen, because let's face it, these are human beings. And they ultimately end up deciding on like $40 to $50 million for guys. Like, Jason Tatum did not make All-NBA last year, and he lost $37 million, I think. All because someone who's watching the game decided that he wasn't an All-NBA performer. These are also people that don't watch every game. Like, it's not like if you're a beat writer for, let's say you work at ESPN, but you're covering the Golden State Warriors, you're not watching all of the Boston Celtics games. So how is it possible that you can even say Jason Tatum isn't All-NBA last year? How is it possible that you can say Jordan Poole isn't the most improved player and you have not watched him play all year, nor did you watch him play all last year? How is it possible? And so there's a huge flaw in the system. And it's ridiculous that it hasn't been changed, especially with the amount of money that's at stake. You mean to tell me someone who's upset at me because I didn't want to do an interview with them can ultimately decide if $37 million goes into my bank account or not? That's ridiculous. But it all goes back to the notion of what I've been talking about and how players are treated. Because the guy who works at Goldman Sachs, bonus isn't decided by the the clients that are accounts they're working on. Like, that client don't then call the CEO and say, hey, John deserves a bonus. Or somebody from CNBC doesn't call and say, hey, Jamie Dimon, your employee, he deserves a $37 million bonus. That doesn't happen. But however, that still happens to be the case in basketball, and I don't understand it. Like, we're past the days of guys not understanding business. We're past the days of guys being completely oblivious to what's going on in their profession, how they can make money, the things they can do with that money. We're past those days. The fact that the power of these awards, the power of these All-NBA teams are still decided by someone who could have never possibly played basketball a day in their life, which means there are things going on in the game that you just can't see. You want me to tell you how I know there's things going on in the game that you just can't see? I absolutely love football. I watch football so much. I enjoy watching football more than I enjoy watching basketball. I watch football religiously since a child. I feel like I know a lot about football. There are so many things going on during an NFL game that I miss, that I don't know that thing is going on. You know why? Because I don't have experience in doing that thing. I don't have experience in doing that. So there's little games within the game that I don't even realize is going on because that's not what I do. I study football just like some of these people say they study basketball. As someone who's a part of the media now, I think it's absolutely disgusting that at some point I may have a vote in deciding who wins Defensive Player of the Year. I may absolutely hate Marcus Smart. You don't know that. How do you know? I could not vote for Marcus Smart because I just hate him. I don't hate Marcus Smart, but you get my point. I could absolutely hate him. Okay, so I'm 32 years old. By 40, I could have a vote. Guess what? That means a player that's in his first year being his ninth year, and if I don't like him now, I can then decide that I don't want to vote for him and cost him $40 million. You think that don't happen now? You can't possibly think that doesn't happen. A couple years ago, I had the most first place votes. Not a couple years ago when I lost to Kawhi. I don't even remember what year that was. But I had the most first place votes. Some guy left me off his entire ballot. You think that was a mistake? Or was it something else behind it? That ultimately changes the complexion of my career. That's one more Defensive Player of the Year I have. That could be the difference in Hall of Fame or not. That's someone deciding that based off what merit? Like, what is that based off of? I don't get it. And it's shameful, and it's ridiculous that no one talks about this. That it's just like, okay, you know why? It's okay because of how we're viewed as athletes. That's the only reason it's okay. Because again, MSNBC, they don't decide what Jamie Dimon's bonus is. So it baffles me that us as athletes are still decided by somebody from Bleacher Report, somebody from ESPN, somebody from blue.com. I mean, people create their own websites and become like these media personalities because they did a good job creating a website. Then they ultimately decide someone makes $40 million now. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's a shame that Jordan Poole, not only will he not win most improved player, he's actually not even in the top three. And he's actually the most improved player in the NBA. Kids out there looking like Steph Curry. 12 months ago, he was on his way out of the NBA. He's now in the playoffs out there looking like Stephen Curry. The second. That's who he out there looking like right now. And y'all mean to tell me a kid that was on his way out of the NBA 12 months ago is now out there mimicking and looking like Stephen Curry? With all due respect to Steph, we all know Steph changed the game of basketball. Jordan Poole, if you look at his, he's 22 years old. We won our first NBA championship 2015. He's 15 years old. You can't possibly think that kid's not going to the gym like, oh man, Steph Curry's shooting these shots. I'm going to shoot these shots. So he's out there mimicking Steph. He's doing an incredible job of doing it. 12 months ago, the kid was already almost out of the NBA. And he's not the most improved player. You're out of your mind. You are out of your mind if he's not the most improved player, which he isn't, by these terrible standards that we have to live by. He isn't. But you're out of your mind, and y'all wonder why I say basketball heads don't know basketball. You clearly don't know basketball. You clearly don't know basketball. That's why I said I want to come help say the media. Because you're losing our credibility. People say stuff with no repercussions. But just be talking, just to talk. Man, learn the game. Learn the game if you're going to do this job. Learn the game because it's a beautiful game. It's being ruined by these narratives. It's being ruined. Learn the game if you're going to do that. So I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And hopefully, the NBA will realize, hey, this is such an outdated thing. This needs to be changed. Whether it's some mix of players, whether it's coaches, whether there's some committee that the NBA puts together, there's a bunch of things. And at this point, it's just lazy. It needs to be changed. Unless we're going to start allowing CNBC to decide who's getting a bonus at JP Morgan Chase. It needs to be changed. Stop looking at us like we're idiots. We're businessmen too. It's probably time to wrap our head around that. Okay? All of us aren't dumb. That's just the reality. So let's look into that. The Celtics and Nets series, one game in, is by far the most exciting series of the year. Now, again, we'll see where it goes from here. But between Kyrie letting them fans know exactly how he feel, which hurt Jackson Hart because Jackson would have been in the crowd getting all of that from Kyrie. With Kyrie letting them fans know exactly how he feel while going out and scoring 39 points while doing that, that series, absolutely incredible.
Who won that game? I forgot.
You know, down 17 points, come storming back because you have two of the greatest offensive players to not only come storming back, but actually take the lead and then Boston have to fight back to eventually get the win. But let's talk about this final play for a second. Jaylen Brown caught that ball, and we all know Jaylen Brown shooting that ball. Out of control, whatever, no problem. Jaylen then gets to the baseline, realizes I don't have anything, spins back, settles down into the post. Beautiful. Surveys the floor, see Marcus on the left wing wide open. Skip pass, swing it. Marcus Smart shoots that shot 10 times out of 10 leading up to this year. He's shooting that shot 12 times out of 10 leading up to this year. Marcus Smart shot fakes and drives. Jason Tatum, who goes on record saying, I was just going to the rim to try to get a rebound, receives a pass from Marcus Smart, running full speed, has the body control and wherewithal to spin, know exactly where he is on the floor, have a terrible angle for the layup, actually make the layup. It catches the front rim and goes in. Basketball gods are alive and well. And what were they rewarded for? They were rewarded for Jaylen Brown not forcing up a terrible shot. That is growth for Jaylen Brown. That is the growth that has the Celtics in the position that they're in. That is the growth that had people saying, you need to split those two up, because they have not, they hadn't seen, no one has seen that growth. Kudos to Jaylen Brown. That was beautiful. Everybody thought you were shooting that ball. That was absolutely beautiful. Kudos to Marcus Smart, who I've been praising. His floor game. I mean, Marcus Smart and what he's done for that team and being the point guard. See, no one says for all these years he could have possibly been playing out of position. Because guess what? When we all loved Marcus Smart and him coming to the NBA, what position did Marcus Smart play? Marcus Smart was a point guard. Marcus Smart was a true point guard, which is what we all loved about Marcus Smart. He was a true point guard that could go score. Marcus Smart became a guy who wanted to go score and didn't really care about being a true point guard. Insert Ime Udoka. Insert Damon Stoudemire. Insert Aaron Miles, the point guard whisperer. Marcus Smart goes back to who Marcus Smart was, playing point guard beautifully. Whole team changes, whole season changes, and then look at the results in game one. That's all a byproduct of Marcus Smart becoming the point guard that we all believe Marcus Smart was when he was coming into the NBA. And it's beautiful to see. Absolutely beautiful to see. Those young guys figuring it out with the help of OG old head Al Horford. It is beautiful to see. Got to give a lot of kudos to them. Now, Kyrie and KD, who are by far two of the most skilled guys in this league, by far two of the best scorers we've seen, like, they're incredible. My worry for the Brooklyn Nets is those two guys have to play so well for them to win. That's hard. Like, in a playoff series, everybody's focused on these guys. That's a very hard task to play that well all the time. But when you got those two guys, you always have a chance. And that's what we've been seeing as of late. They needed to win games down the stretch. They leaned on those two guys. They needed to win a play-in game. They leaned on those two guys. They needed to get back in game one. They leaned on those two guys. I think this series, number one, this should not be a first-round series. It is totally unfair to the Boston Celtics. It is totally unfair to the Brooklyn Nets that they are playing each other in a first-round series. But as a fan of the game of basketball, I love it. I mean, it doesn't get much better than this in the first round. Congratulations to Marcus Smart winning the Defensive Player of the Year Award, first guard since Gary Payton. Absolutely amazing. And again, when you win, everybody wins. if the Boston Celtics were still having a terrible year that they started off having when they were 22-22, 23-23, whatever it was, Marcus Smart would not be your defense player of the year. So just goes to show you how important winning is. And for all those kids out there that may come across this podcast, you're looking for a skill to master. You want to go master a three-point shot? Great, by all means, go ahead. You want to go master ball handling? By all means, be my guest. But the best skill anyone can master is winning. Because when you win, everybody wins. Awards start piling in, rings and championship trophies start piling in. When you win, money starts piling in. Everything happens when you win. So if there's one lesson I can give to my young listeners out there, master the art of winning. That's more important than anything. And as you can see, Marcus Smart is a testament to that. No one has talked about Marcus Smart in years as far as defense player of the year goes. They're winning. Boom. First guard since Gary Payton. Absolutely incredible. I thought it was a shame that Bam Adebayo wasn't top three. I'm not sure what Bam has to do to get in the top three. But it was a shame that he didn't make the top three. I can go on and on about that. But I think we all know how ridiculous it is that Bam Adebayo, sitting first place in the East, did not make the top three. Absolutely terrible. But Bam, I'm not sure what you got to do, my brother. I think you and Joel need to sit and have a conversation and both figure out what y'all need to do. Because it just don't be adding up to me, man. It don't be adding up to me. I see Bam out of Bayou. I see him switch on the five. I see him be the catalyst to that defense, be the anchor to it. I see all of that. I see it, Bam. I appreciate your defense, my brother. I don't know what you got to do to get some recognition for it. And, you know, before we get out of here, I just want to talk about a few guys that's caught my eyes throughout this playoff, these first few days of the playoffs. Jordan Poole, number one, as I've spoke about. Jordan Poole has been absolutely incredible. Tyrese Maxey has been absolutely incredible as well. I think the way he's playing off of James and the way he's playing off of Joel, it's great. I mean, what he's added to that team is making them a real contender. It's a huge part of the reason they've been destroying Toronto these first two games. Got to give that kid a lot of credit, a lot of credit, the way he's really come along over these first couple years of his career. Got to give him a lot of credit, the way he's showing up in these playoffs. I go back to Maxey. Maxey, I've never seen a moment too big for Maxey. I remember watching Maxey as a freshman go up against my beloved Michigan State Spartans. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that game was at Madison Square Garden. This kid single-handedly beat us. I mean, he's hitting threes from like four or five steps behind the three-point line. Like, who is this kid? He single-handedly beat my Spartans. I've never seen him shrink in a moment. Another one of those guys that irrational confidence, love the moment. Got to give Tyrese Maxey a bunch of credit. I think he's been absolutely sensational. I mean, and to do that again alongside Joel Embiid, alongside James Harden, alongside Tobias Harris, you have to have some type of irrational confidence going on to just be like, yeah, I'm going to just go do this. Like, yeah, nah, I'm going to go take this shot. Like, I'm not looking for them. I'm going to go. Absolutely incredible. So much props to Tyrese Maxey. Him and Jordan Poole are, if I'm just going to name two, those are the two guys that jump out at me and their performances and what they've done. And then Kyrie Irving as well. I mean, it was in a losing effort in a very tough game. But Kyrie was absolutely incredible. Kyrie, the little big man with all the handles and the ratchet. I mean, he's just putting guys on. Kyrie putting guys on his hip, on his shoulder, big by him, and throwing left-hand jump hooks. Like, those three guys for me so far has been insane. It'll be fun to watch. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Jalen Brunson with his 41-point performance to beat the Utah Jazz, sans Luka Doncic. I mean, that's next level, Jalen. That's next level. Got to give you props. The way they put Maxi Kleber on the wing and allow Rudy Gobert to keep funneling into the paint and just kicking a three, and he goes 8-for-11 from three. Kudos to Maxi. You did what they put you out there to do, brother. Y'all got to win. Hey, I'm not mad at 1-1. Yes, they were at home, but I'm not mad at 1-1 with Luka possibly returning in game three or game four. That's a totally different beast for Utah to have to deal with. So I'm not mad at that at all. I think Dallas should be thrilled with the position that they're sitting in right now. And you got to give a lot of credit to Kleber, and Jalen Brunson was absolutely sensational. So those are the guys that's caught my eyes thus far throughout the playoffs. As I said, you know, over these next couple months, there won't be guest interviews. I hope you all enjoyed today. I'm looking forward to later this week. But until then, Draymond Green Show. Peace.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.